Introducing two new Subway melts. Try the new chicken cordon bleu melt stacked with juicy chicken, black forest ham, and melted cheese. Or the new $5 footlong chicken marinara melt. Tender chicken covered in marinara sauce and melted cheese. Melted goodness made irresistible. Subway melts. Subway. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, week 16 coming up. The holiday's coming up. Christmas on Friday. We're doing a BS Report anyway. Cousin Sal has the week off from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's on the Subway Fresh Take hotline anyway. What's happening?
What's happening, Bill? I have 2 weeks off and scrutinizing every single bowl game, every one of these 75 bowl games.
Is the theme from Star Wars starting to drive you crazy yet at your house?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Who knew they watched so much?
We're getting a lot of Dora in my house lately.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, a lot more palatable than Max and Ruby, who I really want to murder with my bare hands.
It's close.
I hate Max and Ruby. At least I feel like my kids are learning Spanish with Dora.
Yeah. At least you have kids. I'm just watching this for myself. It's a weird thing. The wife is worried.
But. Well, I Netflix because our kids are madly in love, like to the point that it's other people notice and make jokes about it. And your son loves Star Wars more than really anybody loves anything. And now my daughter wants to experience Star Wars, so we had to Netflix it. And this will be one more thing that brings them closer together.
Yeah, I know. Well, even another thing that could bring him closer is my son went out of his way to swallow Luke Skywalker's head yesterday. He bit the head off and swallowed it. That's how close he wants to be to the Star Wars.
Now, I don't know if you're kidding or not. Are you kidding?
I'm not. I'm not kidding. And now we await as the Skywalker head retreats from the dark side.
Literally. Oh, man, kids are great.
Yeah.
You have about 40 of those moments, and really, with any of the moments, something horrible could happen.
Exactly.
And you just got to duck off 40. So, before we get to the Lions, a dramatic statement game by the Dallas Cowboys, your favorite team, on Saturday night. We talked about it on Sunday at Jimmy's house, but if Nick Folk hits the upright, if the Saints come back to win that game, you said that is the second worst Cowboys loss of your lifetime?
Yeah, I still think, they're all so lumped together. There's so many stomach punch losses in the last 10 years. And, you know, I was young for the Jackie Smith thing and everything. But the Romo botch snap sticks with me. It's kind of defines his career, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that kick on the upright, like I think I texted you when we were up 14. I said, I just hope we get the ball in overtime. That's the only thing I'm hoping for at this point. But
well, then you texted me during the timeout that Wade Phillips iced his own kicker, which you'd never seen before.
Have you ever seen that?
No. I don't think Nick Folk needed more time to think about that.
Yeah, really, really. He's a head case as it is. We're going to give him a whole commercial break to think about which side of the upright he's going to hit there. It was the biggest win for us in 7 years, and I still think Wade Phillips should be fired and fired Sunday morning. But.
Well, if you had lost that one combined with a couple of the other Cowboys games and then some of the Mets tragedies that happened this decade, that's a tough way to end the decade, I think, for you.
Yeah. I don't know what I must have done in a past life for these Mets and Cowboys to be a fan of both. It really is.
Well, you got to feel a lot better getting Sean Sweason, the guy who blew the Saints Redskins game. At least he's on your
really,
side
it's
now.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea over there. and we play the Redskins this week. By the way, the team that cut him, he's already a nervous wreck, and we're going to put him in the spotlight on a Sunday night game against his old team. It doesn't seem to work out too well for us.
Let me throw this at you. Let's say the Cowboys announce that all the field goal kickers stink. What they need is a guy who has a good foot and who isn't going to get nervous. And they go out and they sign Landon Donovan. And he's now your field goal kicker. He's no football experience ever. But all we know is that he's got ice water in his veins. He's great on penalty kicks, save for the one a couple weeks ago. He can boot the ball. He's going to be solid from 40 and in. And best of all, he's not going to get nervous. Would you feel better about that than Sean Sweesum?
I might. I actually might. I mean, there's no baggage there, right?
No.
There's no history of letdown. So I would take anything. Honestly, like on four, I think you feel the same way. But like on fourth and four or five from almost any place inside the 40, I almost want to go for it at this point. You know?
Yeah.
You have a decent offense with options, but. Yeah, I can't believe it. Are kickers just not getting paid enough? Like, shouldn't kickers, for guys who decide the game so much, shouldn't they be getting $10 million contracts if there are so few of them out there? The Gramatica's were our next best option if Swisham didn't want to sign with us.
It's a great point. We've discussed it many times, the fact that that we can't, in a country of... Joe Mead, how many people are in the United States?
300 million.
All right, and that doesn't include Europe. So out of that whole pool of people, we can't come up with 30 field goal kickers and 30 punters.
No.
It's okay. Impossible. We should have 30.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, for the people who are like, oh, yeah, I'm pushing my kid towards soccer, or, like, he's really good. Like, shouldn't we be pushing our kid toward field goal kicking and punting?
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, you're counting, like, think of all the football, the high school, the junior high school footballs, all the Pop Warner leagues. And then you're right. You take all the soccer leagues out there because those guys should count too. And for years, some of the best soccer players were the standout field goal kickers. So where are these 30 guys?
Well, what about these goalies in soccer that can kick the ball basically the length of the field? You'd figure they'd be able to nail a 42-yarder.
Yeah.
I don't get it, Sal. I think it's confusing.
I know this guy's going to blow it for us, but...
I really feel bad for you. You know, he's one of those guys that should just change his last name and you'd feel better. Sean Sweesum is a terrible name. That's not like, you're not going to be telling stories 30 years from now that, oh, remember that time Sean Sweesum kicked the game-winning field goal for us? Like, that's a guy who fails with that name. Yeah. He should change his name to Sean Stone. Sean Maverick.
Sweesum. He split the uprights perfectly.
Sweesum. All right, week 16, I'm leading you 8-7. We guess the lines every week. The winner gets to beat the loser with the Subway sub. And I think you're going to beat me this week since I didn't look at the lines.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know how I do. Well, let's take it from here. Friday.
One question. Hold on. Do we have two Saturday games or do we have a Christmas game? What's the schedule?
No, there's one Friday game before the Sunday games, and that's it. So it's Christmas Day Eve.
And what do you mean?
San Diego at Tennessee.
So it's Thursday or Friday?
No, it's Friday.
That's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day that night, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And what's that game?
Cool, yeah, I wish there were more games Thursday and Friday. It only takes so much of the family to watch something here.
So what's the Friday night game?
San Diego at Tennessee.
Oh, that's a great game. Who knew?
Yep.
Although, you know, San Diego basically has clinched, effectively.
Well, They'd have to blow the last two. You guess the line first before we discuss this.
All right. I'm going to say, only because it's a must-win for Tennessee, not as much for San Diego. Ah, screw it. You know, San Diego's good. I'm going to say San Diego by 3.
Oh, wow. We are way off here. I actually get this. I said Tennessee by 4.5.
Yeah.
Tennessee by 3. Because they have nothing to play. They have absolutely nothing to play for. They're locked in as a 2 seed. They can't get an undefeated. I thought Tennessee would be favored by more, actually.
Are we sure they're locked in for the 2 seed, though?
They're a 2 seed. They have 3 losses. Cincinnati has 5 losses.
What about the Pats, though?
Pats have 5 losses. And
So they haven't clinched yet.
Well, the Chargers beat. There's only 2 games left. The most they can have is 5 losses.
Did the Chargers beat us?
Didn't they?
I don't think we played them this year.
I thought it was a big...
I don't remember that. I don't remember playing them this year. I think they beat us last year. Anyway.
Oh.
I'm old, though.
Hold on.
Bad research by me.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't know what I'm thinking, but they have... They've clinched it, though. They've clinched the 2 seed. I've read it a couple of times. Oh.
Well, that's bad research by me.
FC record.
All right.
Oakland and Cleveland.
The quotes from Cleveland are kind of stunning. They like Mangini now. Team's coming together.
Yeah.
They don't want him to go anywhere. Who knew? Eric Mancini. I'm going to say Cleveland by 3.
All right, we both get that. We both had 3.
And it was 3?
It was 3, yep.
It's a strong game. Who knew? We thought Cleveland and Oakland was going to be one of the worst games. Actually, not a terrible game.
Well, we didn't watch a play of Cleveland, Cleveland, Kansas City, right? Was that the game?
That looked like it was going to be the worst game, and then it was one of the most exciting games.
Phenomenal. Yeah. But how about this Oakland team? 5 wins, 4 of them against Pittsburgh, Philly, Cincinnati, and Denver. I mean, those 4 teams could possibly all make the playoffs, and if they don't, it's basically Oakland's fault.
And did it in week 1, they almost beat the Chargers, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a screwed up league. Killed me on a teaser. All right, Buffalo at Atlanta.
And I liked what Atlanta did last week. I'm going to say Atlanta by 8.
Wow, you hit that exactly. I said 6. I thought it'd be a little lower. Yeah, we were talking. I was proud of myself. I said Atlanta's a Carlos Mayorga. They're a good tune-up opponent for the good teams, and then they go on the road and get beat. But right then they took – Sanchez can only throw so many interceptions before a team takes advantage, I guess.
I want to see some sort of study on teams that aren't quite juggernauts giving 6 at home. That seems like the classic underdog money line win every time. I would love to know the numbers on that. Every time a team's...
Oh, you mean like the Jets?
Like the Jets last week, I saw that 6 and I was like, It seems like it's right in the range where you just make the 2-1 money line bet on the other team and you win it.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe Mead.
Yeah.
Joe Mead?
Yes.
Scale of 1 to 10, how depressed are you about the Bills season?
I don't care about the Bills season. I got a chance to put on my J.P. Losman jersey last weekend, and I was happy.
Who do you want to be quarterback of this team next year?
Who did they draft?
Jason Campbell.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, so you know, let's pretend you watched the game last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I had it on, but I was not really paying attention. But you know what? That game is probably good for the Bills' chances of getting him. Now, you know, yeah. Redskins are more likely to cut ties.
If they drafted Tebow with, like, the 5th pick of the second round or whatever they get, wouldn't everybody in Buffalo throw themselves behind that immediately?
That would be the worst decision. I mean, yeah, let's hire Charlie Weiss, too.
Oh, he doesn't like my idea.
I love it. Charlie Weiss, Tebow, Terrell Owens. I might even start room for that team.
A couple readers separately emailed me the idea that the UFL or whatever that renegade league is should just spend all their money on Tebow. And there's so many people that like him that it would give them a level of interest that they wouldn't normally have with anybody.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Brandon Donovan's not around.
All right,
Carolina at the Giants. Big game for...
I'm mad I didn't see that Minnesota choke job coming last week. I didn't realize... I picked Minnesota. I didn't realize that Harvin wasn't playing. And then they're basically locked into the 2 seed and... I don't know. That one had all the makings. Stupid.
They're not really locked in, though. I think they're a game ahead of the Eagles, and the Eagles get the tiebreaker.
Is that true?
I think they're a game behind.
They have one easy game left, though. So this is Carolina at the Giants, who are not as good as they looked last night. I'm going to say Giants by... Oh, this could be in the Vegas zone. I'm going to say Giants by 6.
Oh, come on. I thought you were going to go 4.5 or something. It's 6.5. You get it.
All right.
8. I like that Carolina's playing tough, though. They haven't given up yet.
No. You know what's funny? It's like, oh, they lost their quarterback. And it's like, well, when you lose Jake DeLome, is that really a drop-off?
I know.
To anybody?
No, because DeLome was averaging 4.5 interceptions a game. So even if Matt Moore comes in with 3 picks,
yeah,
an improvement. A lot of the games are close, too. Jacksonville at New England.
My dad thinks we lose this one.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't. He didn't like. You know, I told him nobody believes me that Brady has broken ribs, so I'm going to let it go. But the fact remains, they don't put him in any position where he's ever going to get hit. If you've watched his last 2 games carefully, and I don't know, Jacksonville needs it.
They definitely need it. They're such a scatterbrained team, though, that those Jaguars. They did play the Colts tough, and they have 10 days off. So
they got that mojo, and I don't know. This game worries me. I'm going to say Pats by 6.5.
Yeah, I could always win the Pats game with you because you constantly, consistently undervalue them. I said 7.5, and it's 8. So we're tied.
Because they're undefeated at home, so they bumped it.
They haven't lost.
That line should be lower.
Did you buy for baby Brady? Don't you want your daughter to date him? Forget my son. He's going nowhere.
Well, have you noticed that it set up a weird loss parallel with the two kids? One kid is named Jack, and the other kid is named Ben.
Oh, right.
Yeah. If there was a third kid who names it Locke, that would be pretty weird.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. But Jack and Ben, half-brothers?
I would like Mr. Echo next out of Brady. They named that kid Mr. Echo.
Jack and Ben, half-brothers. One of them's half Brazilian. The other one's half Bridget Moynihan. It's going to be interesting to see how they get along.
Right. All right. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. This is a big game. Actually, this is probably the biggest game of the week, right?
Was that the best moment of the year at Jimmy's house when Roethlisberger completed that pass?
I got to tell you, I was looking towards you because I didn't want to tiff it, but our friend Dave is a huge Steelers fan, and I was really close to turning the TV off as Ben dropped back to pass from that last play. He would still be screaming, our buddy, down. I was so close. I was looking to see what people would think, but...
That would have. Well, you tell the story about the first survivor.
The first survivor. We had a survivor party at my house, and there were like 35 people, and everybody was into it that season. Richard Hatch, and at the defining moment, they're about to make the call, and I shut the TV and like I threw the remote like all the way up the stairs so no one could get it in time. So and blocked the TV so no one could manually turn it on. So
it caused a riot. It caused a riot, right? It was like Cloverfield when things started blowing up. Just people going insane.
It was really bad. Yeah. People love their Survivor.
Joe Mead, remind us to talk about Survivor at the end of this.
Okay.
What was this game?
This is Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
What a great game. Mm-hmm. I think Pittsburgh almost needed to hit rock bottom and then win a stupid game like that to kind of revive whatever was going on. But the bottom line is their defense stinks. And Mike Tomlin admitted that he did that onside kick because he just didn't think the defense could stop the Packers. So I don't know.
That's really ballsy, though, that onside kick. That's really something else.
I actually thought
that and Wade Phillips icing his own kicker. Those are two coaches that benefited off very, very questionable moves there.
I still hate the Belichick 4th-and-2, and I don't think he put a ton of thought into it. And I think people overestimated the kind of thought he put into it. But I actually like the Tomlin call. He put thought into it. He thought, if we kick off the ball, they're going to drive down the field 70 yards. They're going to score, and we're not going to have enough time to get the ball back. If we do this onside, if we get it, we win. If they get it, they score quickly, and we get the ball back. Like, he did think it through. So I thought it was a better.
They just really must have nothing on defense, I guess.
Well, we watched that game. Green Bay, they did whatever they wanted. This is a great game, and I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 2.5.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
It's a 3.5.
Wasn't quite a 3 to me. It was a 2.5. I don't think they can stop Baltimore. I'm actually going to pick Baltimore, I think. On the other hand, Joe Flacco. Does he have a win in Pittsburgh in him?
I don't think so. It's weird. Like, he didn't look terrible against them last year. And that was the AFC Championship, right?
Did throw the game-losing pick.
That was it towards the end. I don't feel like he's better than he was last year anyway.
I also think we get Polamalu this week. I know he's not supposed to come back, but I don't see him sitting this one out.
Well, that would change things for sure. Seattle, Green Bay.
I guess that's it for Matt Hasselbeck. I think he's your backup quarterback next year. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that should be it.
He comes and he's Romo's whatever.
Joe Mead wants Hasselbeck.
This line should be 11, but because they've been doing this with the three-team teases, so to prevent you from whatever, I think it goes to 13. Green Bay by 13.
All right, that's a solid analysis. It's 14, and I misfired completely. I said 9.5 here.
Well, have you noticed that any game in that 10 and 12 and a half range, they've just been bumping to 13. And actually, you get good values now at the underdogs because the lines for those games are 4 points too high every time.
You think it's because of three-team teasers? I kind of feel like we're the only idiots that do three-team teasers.
No. First of all, there are a lot of idiots. We're not the only idiots. And that's definitely why. When do you ever see a line that's either 11.5, 12, or 12.5? It never happens. It's always 13 or 10.5 or 11.
All right. Houston at Miami.
I shouldn't have given you that advice. I should have kept that to myself until I was beating you at the sub.
Well, it doesn't matter. I already picked them.
Well, for next week, I mean.
Yeah.
Houston at Miami. I think Miami is the greatest 2-12 team in the history of the league or whatever. What's their record? 6-7?
They are solid. 7-7.
What a great – they're 7-7?
Yeah, they're one of the 47-7 teams.
What a great 7-7 team. Like, really, they could be 11-5 easy.
They're very good.
And I don't like Houston at all. I think they suck. And they're dying to roll over and quit on this coach. I think this is the week. I'm going to say Miami by 3.5.
Yeah, you get that one, too. I thought it would be higher. I said 5. It's only 3. Like, why is
They're pretty even.
Do they have 7 wins, too? No.
I have, like, a 3-game lead on
you. They do have 7 wins. Wow, both these teams have 7 wins. I didn't realize they had 7 wins.
So this is good. So one of these two gets wiped out.
Yeah.
And if Pittsburgh loses, they get wiped out. I need a more simple week 17. I don't like when there's 45 scenarios. It makes my head hurt.
Well, if Baltimore loses, there's going to be even more scenarios.
Yeah, that's bad.
They're 8-7 with everyone else.
Yeah.
Denver will probably lose on the road to Philly.
Yes.
It'd be a mess.
Yeah.
All right, Tampa at New Orleans.
I don't know whether Tampa turned it around last week or whether Seattle is just horrific. But holy mackerel, to go into Quest Field and throttle the Seahawks like that.
Killed a lot of suicide pools. A lot of people at Seattle.
Ugh. New Orleans, still, did they clinch the number one seed? That's a fair question.
I think they have it. Right? They're NFC, they're 9-1. Minnesota's 8-2. I don't know if they clinched all the way.
No, I don't think they did either.
It doesn't matter. They're going to win this game.
I'm going to say New Orleans by 13.5.
All right. You get this one, too. I said, oh, wait, do you? Yeah. I said 16. It's 14.5. That's a win. That's an easy win.
I have like a 4-game lead on you right now.
Let's see. You're up. I think 7-3. Yeah.
Whoa.
KC at Cincy. You got this, too, if you go by your way you analyze these. All right, just say it. What are we prolonging this?
Cincy by 13.5.
That's 14. I said 12. Killing me. 8-3. All right, lay down.
We were talking it during the Bengals game at Kimmel's house. We were talking about how Nate Keating was a little too excited to kick the game-winning field goal on the "We're doing this and for the memory of Chris Henry" game.
Yeah.
Tone it down like three notches, Nate. They're still mourning their dead teammate. You don't have to do the Grammatica celebration.
Yeah, it's a game. What do you look? I really thought he was going to point to the heavens at some point. I'm like, oh my God, please walk off the field. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But, All right, Detroit at San Fran, late afternoon.
Oh, Detroit looks like not only have they packed it in, but they are now convinced that they're the worst team in the league. So I am going to say this is too high. And I'm going to say San Fran by 13.
Okay, I'm doing this game, so I can't pick it. I will be in San Francisco doing this game, so I have to pass. I don't know why do they do that on Inside the NFL?
I don't know.
Well, imagine they pick the game.
It drives me crazy. And then also at the end of the year, each week their records are exactly the same. So obviously at some point they pick the game.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Why don't they all have the same win loss record?
Yeah. Like, Phil Simms, you just did 20 minutes on how San Diego is the team to beat when it comes to January, and you can't pick the San Diego-Cincinnati game because we know you're going to take San Diego. Just say the word.
Well, imagine if there was some scandal where, like, Lester Munson on ESPN broke the story that Phil Simms is rooting for the teams he picks for. Like, what's the worst-case scenario?
Right.
He's coloring his analysis.
You're 100 miles up in the booth. What are you doing? I actually get this one, I think.
Why?
Oh, no, I don't. We tie. I said 10, you said 13. It's 11.5, so we both get it.
Oh, there you go.
All right, St. Louis at Arizona. I'm not doing this game, so.
I kind of like the way the Rams played last week, but I still think this line's, it's either 11.5 or 13, and I'm going to say 13.
I like this, either 11.5 or 13.
13.
It's 14. I actually had 14, so. Let me see if I can narrow this at all. 5, 3.
Don't cheat, because people listen and they count it up on their own time.
It's 9-5. I have to win all.
To win out?
4. And it's not happening. It's a tie. Denver at Philly.
Denver 2-6 their last 10 games or last 8 games.
Watch them play out of their minds now. Watch
Philly
them play minds this game.
Philly by 7.5.
All right, you win that one. You win the week. Congratulations. It's 7. I said 5.5.
Not only that, but I clinched the 2009 regular season title. I'm going to hang the banner.
Such a nothing award.
If sports teams can hang up division champion banners, I can hang up my regular season banner.
You are officially 9-7, and 11 wins this thing, right?
Yeah,
because we're 21 weeks.
But we could have a push or two in the playoffs.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you're in trouble. I'm not going to say I'm going to start looking at potential subs, but it does feel good.
Well, let me just say this. Because I'm in the finals of our fantasy league,
yes.
And if I win, I get to vote someone out. So maybe you want to check swing some of those thrusts at me.
Well, but that's the irony of this is that ultimately I'm probably going to hit you once, not even that hard. But if you had won, you would have beaten me like the kids in Dazed and Confused beat Mitch Kramer. Hit me with the sub 20 times.
Come on. First of all, we should do this in front of a crowd and everything else. I'm not conceding victory yet. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I don't know why you
do it in front of a crowd.
I think we should do it on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, you want to do that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, you know, I was watching your show last night, and Jimmy was playing tetherball with Charles Barkley. I think the sub would be a little more compelling. You couldn't even keep the tetherball on the rope.
Maybe you'd swing a tetherball sub at my head. All right. Jets at Colts.
Jets still alive. Colts now officially in that mode where it looks like they're going to start resting people.
So dumb. Just play everybody.
Well, they're pretty banged up. I think it would be pretty foolish for them, though.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. They have a lot of guys banged up at this point.
But you know what I mean. I mean, whatever. Obviously, Freeney, that he should sit, and like Gonzalez and Garcon, but I want to see Peyton out there 3 quarters.
Peter King made a nice point that I think is valid. And, you know, Rex Ryan knows that the only thing that the Colts are afraid of is Manning getting hit. So what do you do if you're him? You blitz every single freaking down and you try to hit him as much as you can and you take an unnecessary roughness late hit and you do everything you can to get him out of that game. It not worth their while to have him out there. If he's smart, that's what you do.
I want to see. I just don't think it's fair. Like, I don't, you know. You have Peyton Manning in the final. This is all about fantasy football. Let's not forget. Anytime you turn the TV on Sunday.
Yeah, but this is why the fantasy football system is flawed. It should go 17 weeks, and then the guy should carry over to the playoffs. And my whole idea where you should get to redraft. You get some keepers for the playoffs. You redraft the rest of your team.
I don't know.
Complicate? What, you wouldn't enjoy more fantasy football?
It's too much. Think of the idiots in our league trying to figure that out.
Too much. My season was over in week 11.
Yeah.
What was fun about that?
You're sending emails. You're quitting the league. You hate.
I am. I'm quitting. I've had it with fantasy. Jerome Harrison swinging semifinals in fantasy playoffs was the final straw for me.
All right. Well, whatever. The Giants' sixth-string receiver caught a ball off his helmet, and they won the Super Bowl. Like, weird things happen. Are you going to not watch football anymore?
Jerome Harrison and Jamal Charles were the two big guns in week 15. Give me a break.
Listen,
let's all admit that this is stupid.
3 years ago, you had the number one pick, Adrian Peterson. You steamrolled the league. You won. This year, you had the number one pick, Adrian Peterson, and you weren't around for the playoffs. So what?
I'd like to thank Steve Smith. I'd like to thank Roy Williams. I'd like to thank all the other crappy guys I drafted.
Good.
It's a crapshoot.
What a baby. What a baby.
I've had it with fantasy football. You can't tell me this is fun. Why? Even when I won 2 years ago, I didn't have fun. I was nervous the whole time that I had this great team and
I won by 2 points in the last night. And No thanks to D'Angelo Williams, who sits after like three plays. But
you would go crazy. They moved.
I was going nuts. We had people over last night, and I was like, "I'm sorry, I have to watch this game." You guys... All right, Jets at Colts.
Oh, I'm going to say Colts by 3.
Oh, you see, all right, I get this. It doesn't really matter. But I said 7. It's 5.5.
Vegas on.
I guess this is a stay away, right? There's no way to
I like the Jets. I'm betting the Jets.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, there's no way that Rex Ryan has to have an IQ over 80, and if you have an IQ over 80, then you blitz the hell out of the Colts and you make the Colts take them out. You don't. They don't want Manning to get hurt.
All right. And Sunday night, Dallas at Washington.
Wow, you catch the Redskins at a nice time, huh?
Well, watch them get their act together by Sunday.
I'm going to doubt that happens. Dallas by 6.
I said 6.5, and it's 7.
Mm.
I made a little bit of a comeback here.
More of
Let me just say this, Redskins. Go away. You're done. All right? You showed last night. You're done. Don't you dare show up for this game. I swear I'll launch a league-wide investigation into a fix. They're somehow in this game in the fourth quarter. That was a garbage team last night. There's no reason they shouldn't repeat.
You know who took them off the hook?
Who?
Vinny Del Negro, who blew a 35-point lead at home to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 35-point lead in the third quarter. They lost.
All right.
Not to the Celtics or the Lakers. To the Sacramento Kings.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I want him running plays for the Redskins Sunday night.
All right.
If the boys blow this, I'll get sick. And this Swisham thing, it's really... is it going to come down to Swisham?
You know what? I don't think he's your kicker. I think by Saturday they find somebody else. I think Morton Anderson... They're trying to hunt down Morton Anderson in some log cabin in Oklahoma or wherever he lives. Morton, one more time.
Analogy. It's like hiring... This is like having Snooki from the Jersey Shore as your billionaire phone-a-friend. Yep, this is it. All our hopes are playoff hopes are riding on this guy.
The Morton Anderson thing would be like a bad Corolla movie, you know, where it's the movie where the guy's retired at some cabin and the guys show up. You used to be the best. No, I don't want to come back.
The Hammer was not a bad Corolla movie. All
right. What do we have for Monday night?
Chicago, Monday night.
Oh, man. And they thought this was going to be a great game.
Yep.
Instead, it's going to be the Will Lovie Smith get fired game. I think Minnesota's happy with number 2.
Mm.
Actually, they have to hold off Philly, though.
Yeah.
They have to win this.
Philly can't catch them.
Minnesota by 7.
That's exactly right, and that's what I had.
All right.
Minnesota wins this. It's a too high-profile game. But then people really start talking about how they fall apart, right?
Yeah.
So let's go Minnesota and your Patriots on a... Not a two-team teaser.
I was thinking during that whole game, that extension, how stupid it was and how Charlie Weiss-esque it was. And then I didn't tweet it, and then Whitlock did. So now I'm piggybacking on his point, even though I was thinking it the whole game. But,
of which one?
Well, just, I mean, the giving him the extension when they did.
Oh, right, yeah.
Was not to bring up a sore subject with Joe Meade. But that was a Charlie Weiss-esque move. They at least wait until you win one or two games on the road with some tough, I don't know.
And then the guy tries to show his value by looking to sit Favre in that game. Like,
yeah.
All right, I'm gonna make a stand and show that I'm a real go-get-em coach. And Favre's like, no, I'm not sitting. I'm playing.
You know.
All right.
All right. His whole point was like Favre is getting beaten up. You have Adrian Peterson on your team, and Chester Taylor is his backup. Just go put two tight ends in there and run the ball. Run it down their throats. What are you trying to make plays for? They did the same thing against Arizona. They fell behind, and Favre just started gunning it, and it was ridiculous. You're a power rushing team.
It's going to be interesting. The Saints and Vikings have fallen off a little. I'm almost positive my Cowboys can't keep this up. I say look for the Eagles in the NFC.
Yeah, that's not a bad... That's not. There was another NFC. I still think Arizona could get hot for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
They have talent. Like they could beat anybody in round one or round two. Like if you're looking for like a 20-1 NFC bet or Super Bowl bet or whatever. Let's talk about Survivor quickly.
All right.
So
I think you and I disagree with it. I don't know how
many. No, we agree. I totally agree with your point. I think the fundamental weakness of the show is that somebody can just basically not do anything and win. The worst case was, I think, like 3 seasons ago, that the fat guy who was like really an embarrassment in every challenge and he won. Remember that guy? What was that guy's name?
I can't remember.
I'm going to say like 3 or 4 seasons ago. And he was basically just kept getting brought along because everybody knew he wasn't a threat, and then he somehow won. And this kind of reminded me of that. This girl did nothing.
So this is a girl who rode the coattails of a guy, for those who don't watch, a guy who just was a great, great competitor in Survivor. He found all these immunity idols without clues, and he really, like, he tricked everyone. He lied to everyone into thinking that he was going to bring them to the final three or whatever, and then comes down to a jury vote, and he loses.
Right.
Right.
Well, my whole point was that he would have won regardless of who he brought to the other, or he would have made the final three regardless of who he was aligned with. She had no chance of making the final three except for all the things that he did. But your counter is that part of this game is not antagonizing potential jury members, which he did, and that's why he lost.
I just think a month ago, you and I were saying, oh, this Russell, he's great, but he has too many enemies. It becomes a popularity contest at the end.
Yeah.
How could he not see that? If you were on the jury, would you say, I know this guy lied to me, but, you know, he played the game well. He's getting my vote. Or would you say, oh, man, this guy, he screwed me over. He cost me $1 million. Now I'm going to cost him. I would do B.
You don't want the spite vote. And, you know, I thought Probst did a good job of breaking it down. Like, you have to bring Jason and Mick to the finals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody, I feel like they edited the Jason stuff strangely, but it seemed like people like openly didn't respect him. He must have done a lot of whining that they didn't show, and he must have been lazy, or there's more going on than we saw on the show. But
right.
It didn't seem like anybody would have voted for him. Nobody had any respect for him. And then Russell, and nobody liked Mick either. So Russell beats either of them. So his big mistake, in my opinion, was when he sided with Jason. That's when he should have gotten rid of the girl, because she was obviously going to win if it got to the final three.
Yeah.
And
the other thing is, like, the jury hangs out in that Ponderosa, whatever they call it, for however many days, depending on when you were voted off. And I think they talk to each other, and that sort of thing, someone like Russell isn't going to gain steam as those guys are talking back there, right? Like, they're going to put their hatred together and, like, you know, plot against them, I think. So
you think they should be
going on behind the scenes too?
You think they should be sequestered?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. They lost. They should have it worse than anybody, I think.
Yeah. One of the great things about Survivor is every year people get so mad that people lied or backstabbed, and it's like, well, really, there's three ways to win in the game. You lie, you backstab, and you win a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fourth way. So obviously whoever gets there is going to backstab somebody. I thought this was one of the only seasons I remember where anybody who's this much of an alpha dog like Russell was, usually there's a little coup d'etat at some point, and it usually happens when there's like 6, 7, maybe even 5 people left. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure Jason was going to do that, and he probably should have if he had gotten you know, if he'd gotten Mick, whatever, like, look, Russell could win this. We got to get rid of him right now. You know, I think maybe he could have talked 3 people into that. But nobody made that play.
Community idol. You'd think they would. There was no talk of that at all, which is weird.
Or they didn't show it.
You know what? There's the 20th season's coming up, and they promoed that. It's going to be all the, what are they, the villains versus the fan favorites or something?
No, villains versus the heroes, which I don't know the word hero has ever been used more liberally than heroes versus villains.
They have lined up.
Yeah.
Remember.
So it's going to be an all-star season.
I mean, it's 20 seasons. I love it. You love it. I think the ratings have been going down. You get the 20 villains and heroes, and you add Tiger Woods. And just have the 21 of them on there. Tiger Woods banging all those girls, and it would be the greatest thing, Survivor.
Tiger would hook up
together.
Yeah, Tiger would do some business, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think is Tiger's next move? We've never talked about it on the podcast. What would you do if you were him?
I wouldn't do Oprah, that's for sure. Yeah. I think it's too far gone to do Oprah or something. What do you do? I don't know. If I'm him, I don't care what people think. I mean, this is kind of who he is. Is it easier to seek counseling and try to make good with the wife, or do you just want to go out and, you know, be a horn dog in Vegas every weekend? I think he should be who he wants to be.
See, that's I agree with you, and the more I think about it, I think that's the play. You let the marriage go. You pay her off. You say, you know what? I got married too young. I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things I wish I could take back. I hurt my family. I can never get that back. But I'm going to do my best to be a great dad to my two kids. I feel awful for my wife. I'm going to take care of her financially for the rest of her life. And I'm not going to get married again. And I'm going to do my thing. And that's maybe what I should have done all along. Everybody makes mistakes. I feel awful. Please forgive me. And I'm going to move on with my life.
I agree, and I think you should hold this press conference no later than sometime today.
That was great. I ad-libbed that whole thing. Joe Mead, what'd you think of that? Joe Mead?
Yes.
Did you like my Tiger Woods? You didn't like my press conference?
I think that's it's a solid job by you there, Billy.
You just did a Francesa. That was nice.
I think you're right, though.
I think
way more people would respect him if he said that. I mean,
totally.
You know, this is not a guy who cheated on her with one girl. This 13, 14, whatever you want to believe. It's probably a dozen women he was with. So,
well,
probably more.
We have a friend who I won't name who probably wasn't meant to be married and admitted that after the fact and admitted that he had flaws and he was who he was and he enjoyed the hell out of himself. We know a few people like that.
Right. And now
at least
Steve O'Donnell is just he does what he does. Oh, no.
That wasn't talking about him. I think what people won't respect is him pretending that he's now a family guy. But when you have that many strippers and porn stars and cocktail waitresses and all that stuff,
it's pretty
hard to come back from.
Help this guy.
I just want him to play golf again. Like, I really hope this doesn't, you know, and this is why I really still believe that this is the biggest sports story of the decade, because not only did it have all the components of scandal and all the, you know, water cooler and all this different stuff, but this now means that we might not see this guy for 6 months or 9 months or 12 months or whatever it is. And this is the best athlete of this decade.
Definitely. And he's ruining a sport by doing it.
Oh.
Or whatever you want to call golf.
Well, how great is the Ryder Cup going to be if he's on the American team?
It'll be the same for me.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because it's against football. I forgot. Any holiday plans?
No, I'm sticking around here. The family's here. Like I said, I'm going to bet every bowl, first half, second half. The overs come through in every bowl game so far, so keep an eye on that. But that's it. What about you?
Sticking around. It's 75 degrees
every day. Jimmy Kimmel Live, the reruns have Barkley, Heidi Klum, Ron Artest was great on the show, Pee Wee Herman, Charlize Theron all this week. So,
What happened with you on Twitter? Why aren't you keeping it up?
I'm going to say something, and you may have to cut it, but let me just tell you, like, this is what I wanted to tweet after Roy Williams almost cost us the game. I wanted to say, Roy Williams, one catch, 14 yards, another stellar performance. Jerry Jones rewarded him. This is what I mean. I'm my own worst enemy.
Let's bleep out the punchline, Joe, so people can wonder for whatever, how many years, what
the
punchline
was. Let me just say,
was.
It had something to do with...
Let's bleep that, too. Cousin Sal, Merry Christmas. See you on Christmas Eve. I'm sorry I took the regular season title for you, but you still have a chance.
I'm not bowing out yet, Billy.
All right. What coach are you like? Mike Singletary? I get you like in Mike Singletary zone. We still have a chance.
Singletary / Kotite, somewhere in there.
All right, good. Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important news, which frankly cannot go unstated. Whether tailgating, watching the game with friends, or just really hungry, attack your hunger with Subway Catering. Pile high platters starting at $25, giant subs, cookies, drinks, and more. So find a reason to party, put Subway Catering in charge, and get busy feasting. Subway. Cater fresh.